Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. Welcome to this Tuesday evening. So glad you could attend the show here on Facebook Live and on YouTube and on Akaku. We're so glad you could be here. I am joined by a myriad plethora of lovely people. A myriad of fine nerd guests and hosts and co-hosts.
Who writes your material?
I don't know. Some Holly guy.
Not Todd Bernardi. No.
Joining me to my right, since we got to get going here, joining me to my right is the artist, the comic book artist extraordinaire. He is a man who was sick last week but has got his bearings back this week. Ladies and gentlemen, give a big round of applause to the one, the only, Todd Bernardi, the author of The Cocooning Project. Yay, Todd Bernardi. We love Todd Bernardi, don't we?
Oh.
Also joining us tonight is the man himself, Gannon. He is here, our punk rock superstar
and
horror
linguist
aficionado. And stop it.
What?
Also joining us tonight is the man, the gaming guru himself. It is Format in the house, everybody.
Yay.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Don't. Yay. And then the lady with a bunch of nerd cred and who is lucky enough to be going to San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow night. What a lucky lady. By the way, I'm very jealous.
And to get paid for it, by the way.
By the way, she's going to be...
Handsomely,
she's,
even.
Right. She's going to be working on a lot
she's
of...
She's going to get paid six whole dollars.
She's going to be working on a lot of very, you could say, socially, I guess, popular
socially
folk.
Awkwardly phrased.
Yeah, I was wondering,
words.
Who am I working on?
Socially popular folk out there.
The communists?
Well, like Tom from MySpace?
I don't think she's saying, and then he can't say it.
I don't think she's working on communists, but I do think that she's working, well, you know
well,
what?
Well, we don't know what their political leanings
technically,
are.
Technically, it is Hollywood. So it's a possibility, but regardless, she's going to be working with some really cool people at San Diego Comic-Con. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Cynthia. She's on a time crunch tonight, but we're so glad she could make it tonight. Yeah. I'm so glad you could make it. Also joining us is the chairman of the comic book board. He is the man, the myth, the legend, and owner.
The slam dancer.
Of this establishment we call My Comics and Collectibles. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Alika. He's in the house tonight as well. And last but certainly not least... He is not just a horror aficionado. He is our resident movie mogul because he watches everything pretty much. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kimberly. He's on the end. Wait a minute.
Wow. What?
Sorry, I was reading your Coke bottle. Sorry,
Kimberly.
I meant Isaac is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It's Isaac.
I'm also the lead singer of the Myriad Plethora.
And that's pretty awesome. I, of course, am G Money. Thank you guys for showing up tonight.
He gets two introductions. Has anyone
yes,
else
I do.
Noticed this? Or is it the first time
I've
ever caught it?
I'm the host.
You're allowed.
Yeah, I'm allowed.
I'd introduce myself like every 10 seconds. Like, I again and the master.
Absolutely.
I am, of course, G Money, and here's my review of Lord of Planet of the Apes.
Once again, I am G Money.
You can read
and
my
you guys can join us on follow us and like us on Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. Follow us on YouTube at @_NerdWatch. Follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. Follow us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation, and of course you guys can donate to the podcast at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch as well. And ladies and gentlemen, also I want to recognize our peanut gallery full of people that
full
watch wrestling. That's right, Todd Bernardi. They watch wrestling.
So fake.
Yes, they do. And thank you for joining us. They're nerds as well. Do not disparage them.
It wouldn't be here if there was a wrestling podcast.
It's fine.
Though.
That's true. It's true. All right, cool. Well, listen, let's get right to it, shall we?
I don't disparage people for liking wrestling.
Right to
I do. I just think that it's fake.
Okay, thanks. Well, listen,
you're implying that they're morons.
Right, that's your implication. But we don't have time for that. So let's get right to it, shall we? This week,
let's get to something else so I can imply that they're morons.
The Nerd Watch had an opportunity to watch the war for the Planet of the Apes, and we took all of these people with us, with the exception of Alika, who was too busy, and Alika, Swan, and Sean could not make it, but they were too busy doing stuff outside of work. So we went to see it, everybody at this table but them. And we have some thoughts about that. So we're going to be talking about War for the Planet of the Apes. We're also, if we can fit it into this podcast, it'll be on the next one most likely. We have a new segment to the show, which is not technically new. It's called TP Talk.
We're going with that.
We're going with TP Talk.
I don't know if...
No?
Tweaking out was way better.
Is tweaking out better than TP Talk?
Oh, is TP Twin Peaks?
Yeah,
not
it's not
toilet paper talk.
It's not TP Talk good? No.
Right. You're the boss, dude. Whatever.
That's terrible.
All right, all right.
That's
fine.
Awful.
I like TP Talk.
You should not name anything, including the name of the podcast.
TP Talk.
TP Talk.
Yeah, who came up with Nerd Watch?
Hey, hey, whatever, Todd.
Because Geek Squad was already taken.
Yeah.
Wait, wait. For the record, if you type in on Twitter at Nerdwatch, a different Twitter account comes up. So you guys are Nerdwatch Nation.
That's correct.
I tried to get other people like promoting the podcast. I'm like, yeah, go to at Nerdwatch. And then I put the handle, and it takes you to a totally different account. So I had to delete the tweets.
Yeah, thank you. It's Nerdwatch Nation, sir. Thank you very much. I
You're welcome
it.
To the real Nerdwatch.
Yeah, you are welcome.
The realist.
At the real Nerdwatch.
Well, let's get right down to it, shall we? Oh, you know who didn't? Who also didn't go? I totally forgot. Todd
Hashtag
wasn't feeling well.
Tweet.
Todd wasn't feeling well. He
I wasn't
couldn't
there.
Make it as well either.
No, but I still, it's 2 stars.
Well, the fact that you didn't go and Alika
nice.
Didn't go,
yeah.
This will be a much shorter review than I expected. So, so
yeah, I know.
Let's get right to it,
I'm
shall
gonna
we?
I'm going to tune out.
You should give a review anyway.
Maybe you should. Maybe yeah. after you hear it, you can give a review.
The apes weren't
you should
filthy
do a
enough.
Reverse review where he gives his review, then watches it and see if it lines up with his review.
Well, let me let's start with an unconventional choice. Someone who I've never started with before, Isaac.
Thank you.
You went to the show representing the Nerd Watch.
Yeah,
you got to see
stuff.
War for the Planet of the Apes, the third in the prequel series, which is supposed to lead up to the Planet of the Apes from the 1968 original. What was your take on the War for the Planet of the Apes?
Well, I went into it already a fan of the first two films.
Uh-huh.
So because of that, this could have disappointed me more than the casual fan.
Yes.
But it didn't. It perfectly complements previous films, and it ended the story, making me feel that the journey was rewarding. I never felt gypped. This is an action film that treats its material like it's more important than being a simple popcorn movie. It has the look of an art film, meaning like everything is perfectly framed.
Yeah.
Yet the action sequences are clearly displayed.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a war film, things get so hectic.
Yeah.
I get lost in the action, but this doesn't happen in Apes. This film has a wonderful score.
Yes.
But you can tell who's on whose side because the monkeys are versing the people.
Sure.
It's a little easier to keep track with this one, right?
Sure. But
not always.
When I watch...
Yeah, there's monkeys on the...
Spoilers.
Have you ever watched a war film... or even like a horror film where the camera gets all shaky and busy, and then they cut to this, and then they cut to this, and they cut to this, and I'm like,
oh, you mean like Michael Bay style filmmaking, like every like quick cuts,
or like Batman Begins.
I'm not going to point out, but I just feel like sometimes I get a little dizzy when I watch action films, especially war films, because there's this and that and this. I feel like they filmed the action in such a very
distinct
way that I was never lost. I always understood what was going on.
Yeah.
I love the score. I thought the music balances the vibe of a war film.
I'm going to tell you something. Can I comment really quick?
Yeah.
I thought the score was very reminiscent of, it almost felt like it was leading up to the original 68 version.
I felt like the score balanced the feeling.
I could have used some more 90s hip hop.
I'm sure you could have. Well, was it now?
I like that about it. I like that it, I like that it didn't have, songs with singing, that it's a score, and it's got the vibe of a war film, but it also like has the personality of the ape culture.
For sure.
There's a dark tone to the film.
Yes.
There's an ape culture?
Sure. Yes. I'm a member myself.
Okay. There's a huge, in this one,
I'll send you a link to,
wait, so there's an actual podcast, website. There's an ape culture, but no 90s hip-hop?
Do we meet the ancestors of Dr. Zaius?
There is a 90s hip-hop culture. I'm just not like a member of that, that club yet.
You could
yet.
Be.
I think that I would be a member of the grunge fan club.
Grungy.
I'm
hip-hop?
More of like a Soundgarden, Nirvana kind of guy.
So what was your take on the relationships between the apes and then the apes to the humans and the, what'd you think?
How could you not be in love with the way they treated that girl? That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Especially that I don't want to give spoilers because I want people to go see this movie. But I don't know how you guys are going to treat your review.
Right, sure.
No, we're going to spoil that.
You mean that? Well, we do spoil a lot of stuff, but you're talking about how the damn dirty apes treated the girl, correct? Yeah, I just want to make sure.
And
I got
who
there.
That girl is, I think.
Yes.
The way you frame
about.
That sentence is a little weird.
What do you mean?
Never mind.
Yeah, stop it.
You'll know what I'm saying when you listen to it later.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Okay,
they gave her valerian.
There,
Stop it.
I'd like to say there's a dark tone to the film, but I feel that a film that tells the story of the fall of humanity should be treated darkly. And yet, to prevent it from becoming too much of a downer, we get comic relief in the form of a new character called Bad Ape.
Bad Ape, yes.
Right? And Bad Ape or is Bape, one of the most... Well, he calls himself Bad Ape.
Tell everybody who's he voiced by.
Steve Zahn. He's one of the most endearing characters I've seen in the film. He adds comic relief without going too far, and he's so sweet. I fell in love with his character immediately. The main villain, let's talk about him. He's played by Woody Harrelson, playing a character just simply known as the Colonel. He's menacing and cold, yet sometimes gentle and almost dainty. This makes him feel more than a generic bad guy. He seems like possibly insane. And then they reveal his backstory, which shows like how much sadness he's carrying.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that like when it was over. It felt like a very Apocalypse
Now
movie.
They make a reference to Apocalypse Now in the film that's not so subtle.
Obviously.
Yeah, right. With the graffiti. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, but I was never bored. I mean, 2 hours and 20 minutes feel excruciating long when it's a boring movie.
Yeah, for sure.
It flew by.
Or when you're listening to a podcast.
when you're listening to a podcast with boring, uncharming, uncharismatic people, then yes. But these gentlemen and lady, no. We are the bees' knees.
Ouch.
Yeah.
This movie is like a lot of movies. It's like an action movie. It's a war film. It's a prison film. It's a post-apocalyptic film. It's a Western. It's all these things.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think the Planet of the Apes prequel fans will love it. And the movie feels grand. It benefits from a theatrical screening. Go to the Maui Mall. See this movie.
Where would you put it? In the prequel
Maui Mall in the theater.
About the prequel trilogy?
Yes.
I feel that they feel
that's where
like
I would
be. That's to be better. But I think they're all great films equally.
Yeah.
But when you watch them, I think back to back,
You
do feel like it's just getting better and better and better until it's just this relief like, oh, that was so rewarding. I love that I went through this experience.
Gotcha. All right. Now, Cynthia, you were there for your first adventure with the Nerd Watch to watch the movie. I'm glad you made it.
How disappointed were you?
And how disappointed. Not in the movie.
It wasn't her first.
I saw Spider-Man with you guys.
Oh, well, yes. That's right.
So
you did.
Jeez.
No, you know what it was? It was because you brought your husband. So that's what
I heard Spider-Man himself was there, so I can see how that would be distracting.
Distracting for sure. Well, this is your second foray with the Nerd Watch, War for the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. What did you think? Were you familiar with the other two? Did you watch the other two? Okay. Was your husband a fan as well?
Sure.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, what did you think of
I
this?
I thought it was great. I don't really have as many thoughts as Isaac, ever, really. Isaac has a lot of thoughts. But it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. I wasn't bored at any given time. I liked Bad Ape. I liked... Oh, it got really quiet in here.
Yeah, sorry.
I liked...
That's fine.
I loved Nova. I thought that she was just so sweet. And just her storyline like actually made me tear up, and I'm kind of not a crier. But every time I talk about a movie, I say I cry, so I'm kind of taking that back.
Right.
It was good. Spider-Man did make me cry, though. So
I think that's a testament to the movie she's been watching lately, though. If she's not a crier, she's been seeing some stuff that's been touching all the right buttons for her.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I mean, since you're one of the two people that are more politically savvy, you, Alika, myself, which follow politics. Did you hear that
the guy that's social?
Yeah, well, you are a little bit.
I don't mind. Just because we don't talk about this, it doesn't mean we don't have feelings about it.
Oh, you know? Just used the word marginalized, so now you're politically savvy.
Yeah, I am. There you go. No, but did you see the social justice warrior? What's his name? Doreen McKesson. Feel like Bad Ape in War for the Planet of the Apes was a racist commentary on himself, which is really strange to me. What? Like, even Whoopi Goldberg called him out on The View, and I don't even watch The View.
I'm totally lost. What
Wait,
is he talking
who
about?
Who said that?
Obviously, you do if you know this.
Yeah.
I think G read an article.
No, I watched.
I think you read a headline.
I watched Whoopi Goldberg get angry at this guy.
He clickbaited down the hole until he got some weird.
No, right? I swear to God, it
bastardized
like,
Fox News.
Yeah,
offshoot.
No, it wasn't. It was actually on The View, which was like weird to me. It's some guy who's a social activist thought that that he was being marginalized or being made fun of because the bad ape, the quote unquote dumb ape in the movie, had a blue vest, and he always wears a blue vest as a social justice warrior. It was really weird, and Whoopi even called him on and said, "Hey, relax, dude. This was out way before you were even born, pal." So yeah, it was interesting. It just interesting.
Was he talking about the original?
No, he was talking about no. You didn't watch the new one yet. The new one, the guy wears a blue.
Yeah, but that guy's been around, and then. That could be a
this
real
guy
thing.
Wears a vest. Yeah. So he saw someone else
No, yeah. the monkey's wearing a vest.
A character wear a vest,
he's...
and he was like, hey, that's me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He felt, that's not, him, not out of the realm of possibility.
It's not.
I'll show it to you after
pretty,
the show.
I mean, I haven't seen what the guy says about it, but just that in and of itself, I don't know. I don't know. I say weird shit, and I see somebody wearing red lipstick, I'm not going to be like, hey, that's me. You're making fun of me.
Did you mark the time on
that? I did, 15:10. Yeah, I got that.
Poop. I see somebody talking some poop. You poop mouth?
Yeah.
You piece of poop?
The only one here.
It's an ape movie. Everybody's going to throw a little poop.
Which
true.
They do. There's a scene where they do.
Which they do. So overall, though, it was enjoyable for you. Is this your, is out of the prequels, would this be up there as your favorite? Or?
Yeah, I do think I like this one the best.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. I walked into it much like Isaac, thinking that it was going to let me down, and I quite liked it.
Well, format. Format, you and I sat together. We very rarely watch the movie. Yeah. But, anyway, no.
Wait,
I remember how your lips felt and the way your eyes looked.
My favorite part about you guys sitting together is listening to you guys heckle the trailers.
I listen to Foreman heckle the trailers all the time. He cracks me
true,
up.
True, it was mostly
no, because we had gotten on this tip, like we watched the Last Jedi trailer, and then all of a sudden American Assassin came up, and then the new Tom Cruise movie called, what was it? American Made. And all of a sudden I turned to the format and I said, hey, listen, what if the next Star Wars movie is, the third one is The American Jedi? And then we just started cracking up and then we just went off from there.
Something happened with the sign language and I was like,
American Sign Language. Sign language. Yeah. And I was like, we're just being so stupid watching the trailers. But anyway, yeah, format. What did you think of the War for the Planet of the Apes?
I thought it was cool that they included a sweaty cave rave scene like in The Matrix. And
that must be one of the parts I slept through.
You did sleep.
Oh,
through.
I did.
We can't wait to get to you, Gannon.
They had the castle from Frozen in there. That was kind of cool. Apparently, military soldiers don't get wet in the rain. That was something.
That was weird.
And
that
then
was weird.
Nova's solid snake in disguise as a little girl.
That was the only time during the movie that Foreman and I actually looked at each other and went, what the hell's going on? Like, she's walking through this camp with no one aware
of... There's,
searchlights.
Oh, I have a theory about that.
Going. It's like, what the hell's going on?
I have a theory about that.
Oh, what's your theory?
Because, so if you go from, the religious angle, where at the end, we're at the... God, I'm trying
to
do spoilers.
Jesus walking
but remember
water.
When, like... Okay, so... Okay, spoilers. There's an avalanche at the end, right?
Yes.
Right.
So if you think of that as, God, trying to help the apes by, taking out these humans with this, then he's also helping her get through that moment. There's moments
interesting.
Where he has a divine intervention.
I thought that the avalanche at the movie kind of represented the end of human existence,
right?
Almost.
And but there is definitely biblical references. Like there's a part where he straight up says, "What would Caesar do?" And Caesar straight up gets crucified in this movie.
He
so
does.
It's like there's so much Jesus.
He
stuff
does.
All over this
he does. You're right.
There's a flood.
So yeah,
it
was my intervention.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird because after that scene. All the troops came, I don't know, they were praying or something, I don't know. But they came from off camera.
Right.
And they came marching back into the camp. So it was kind of weird, this little girl had the run of the base all to herself for a solid half hour, pretty much.
Yeah, it felt that way.
In movie time.
I think that was the only time, maybe it's my, I didn't suspend my disbelief enough, but that was the only time I looked at it and was like, this is totally weird. I didn't get it. So, I mean, it took me out for a second, but after that I was back in. Were you that way too?
The scene itself was pretty cool with the grains and, you know, she's helping out Caesar and all that. But just getting from point A to B, that was kind of it kind of took me out of the moment.
Right, absolutely, and for you, do you think that this is as good or if not better than the other sequel or prequels?
You could have used some Marky Mark,
yeah, a little bit of Helena Bonham Carter
for most films, though.
They could have brought back Broderick,
yeah, for sure.
Just because,
nice.
That's a deep cut is what that is.
Yeah. No, Project X. No, yeah. I got it.
I know you got it, but nobody else is going to get
that.
Thanks for spelling it out,
that's why
I spelled
it out for everybody, just in case.
Now nobody's...
Join our trivia night at Playmakers Bar.
What's a Project X?
Oh, my gosh.
It's an X.
You get fun deep cuts like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All night.
Hey, Isaac, do me a favor. Before we go any further, can you make sure to watch the bottom of that mic there? I'm getting a little static from you. There you go. Perfect.
I'll hold it like this.
Yeah, yeah. Talk in it, though. Just make sure it's good.
He talks like this. Perfect. Static. You didn't know this?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. He sounds great.
All right. Yeah, that was good. So, now, Gannon, how did you feel
Gannon,
about
Gannon, sir.
It was too dark. It was too much CG, too much over-reliance on pop songs, all this stuff. You guys
what did you... For the parts that you did see.
I will fully admit I was really exhausted watching it, so I did miss quite a few bits of it. Okay. I will fully admit that.
Yeah, the girl didn't take me out of it. Gannon's snoring took me
out of it. With all that said, it's still it's still frustrating that Andy Serkis is not getting Oscar nominations. It's incredible
what
he's doing.
I agree.
And I think there's still the argument of, like, how much is there a handoff between him and the CG? I think it's pretty clear that it's his performance ringing through the character.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy just to play that character just very one note.
Yeah.
Because it's not, technically speaking on the page, he probably is one note.
Mm-hmm.
But he brings a lot of depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of layers to what he has expressly on his face. That's my takeaway from all three of these movies. And it's gotten only better. And, like, it's yet again, you watch the movie, and, like, you completely forget you're watching CG characters.
Yeah. I think that's what I said to you the moment it was over. I said, this is the most astounding CGI I have ever seen. It's phenomenal.
And it's like the anti-Transformers film.
Yeah. It is.
Because they're both going for the same kind of storytelling. But there's actual depth and narrative going on with Planet of the Apes versus Transformers just being noise.
Yeah.
Am I boring you? Because you're just looking at
the apes don't transform.
Oh, no. I'm watching.
No,
yeah. I'm good. Well, so what else did you? What else did you think that you?
But that
enjoy?
No. But that what Isaac said about it, like it's hard to just pick one as your favorite.
Yeah.
It's probably the first trilogy we've had in a while that really. They might not have had it planned out from the start.
Yeah.
From story to story, but it feels that way.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's an even hand through all of them. Even though Matt Reeves only directed the last two.
Right, Matt Reeves.
He didn't really have much to do with the first one.
Right.
But it definitely feels like this story was planned out from beginning to end.
Yeah, they're very much so.
And it could exist on its own. It doesn't necessarily have to be the prequels to the original films. It doesn't have to be.
Is there anything that you didn't like?
Not really, to be honest with you.
That it didn't end with.
I was a little worried.
Yes.
I was a little worried that Woody Harrelson. I was a little worried that Woody Harrelson kind of take me out of it because depending on the movie and depending on how he performs in it, like you're just thinking about him as Woody Harrelson sometimes.
That is true.
Yeah,
I was thinking I love him as an actor.
Wait till Han Solo comes out. You won't be able to remove Woody Harrelson from it.
I don't think so. I think
watch.
That's a good counter.
I'm betting on it.
I've never not enjoyed Woody Harrelson in a movie.
I think that this is the first time because he's.
I was thinking the other day what a great actor he is.
Well, he is.
Watch
like
Hunger Games.
Underrated actor.
But
watch Hunger Games.
If I'm not mistaken,
I haven't watched Hunger Games.
If I'm not mistaken, ever since he's gone clean because he doesn't smoke weed anymore.
That's not true.
That's what he says.
That's
he
not
says
true.
He says that he wants to be clear minded and things like that. If this is his first performance, I mean, for me, at being the guy that's off of weed, I think that he should go back to smoking weed because I don't think I
was his performance not good.
Isaac and I
see that angle coming.
Yeah, Isaac and I had a very we had a vehement disagreement about this. I thought that his performance was extremely lackluster in this movie, and I did not connect to it as I would do with most Woody Harrelson movies, and
well,
I thought
I'll
that
let
it
him
was.
Know that.
Yeah, you make
next
sure
time I see him.
Next time you see him in Paia
at Whole Foods.
Yeah,
it was a little subdued from what you would
yes.
think you would expect in that character.
Right,
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
that
so and he defended him. You're the bottom of your thing again. There you go.
He is losing his mind. They establish that
sure.
at some point from that he's literally losing his mind.
Interesting.
That's seen in his performance. I feel like by the time you discover he's losing his mind, you're like, oh, so that's why he's acting that way.
Sure. One of the things about this
monkeys.
Movie, the one thing I like, or I should say the things that I liked about
by
this movie.
By the way, how come there's no monkey junk in any of these movies? It's so anatomically correct, and there's no privates.
There's a lot of hair down there, I think.
Not enough.
Not enough?
There's a lot of monkey chunky boobs, though.
There was a lot
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that's awfully sexist.
Yeah, there
you
was.
You see the women's ones.
I think
the
if
guys.
You watch the rave scene close enough, you see some red rockets.
You know what? You know what I? You know what I thought
but that's
was
not genitalia, Gannon. So it's not the same.
It's and not the same.
You don't see any.
But you would hope that if you can see one, you can see the other. I'm not calling them the same things, but I'm saying if you can see one, you should be able to see the other.
What's genitalia?
Huh?
I'm just kidding.
You don't have it?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Getting back
is
to
that how you're rating the camera work? If you could see monkey jumps.
Yeah.
It's good CG, but like there's no monkey jumps.
I'm
on a
just
scale
saying.
Of one to monkey junk.
Hey, yeah.
How good's the CG?
Just to let you know, thanks
just
to Cynthia.
Pixelated blurs.
The name of
there.
This podcast yeah, is so "There Is No Monkey Junk." That's where that's what it is. It's what it is. It's already done.
Monkey junk.
Yeah.
I already hate this movie because there's no monkey junk.
getting back.
Monkey junk.
Getting back to the real
there
of
been
the
monkey
war.
Junk all over this place.
Getting back to the.
They should have won this war with monkey junk.
Okay, Todd.
What?
I'm glad you didn't watch it.
Oh.
Okay.
What did you think about this movie?
I would
you
like.
Didn't see?
I would like to get my review in. I have. If I. What the hell?
There goes the hour.
No. I'm going to keep it as short as sweet as possible. I thought that War for the Planet of the Apes was great. I think that it is not the strongest of the three prequels. I think 2 is the strongest of the three prequels. I thought that. Andy Serkis' performance and all the apes in the film were spectacular. They looked phenomenal. It was fantastic. I love the girl, Nova, right? Mm-hmm. Is her name? Nova, of course, as you didn't have a chance to spoil, is that Nova.
You spoil it, do it.
Yeah, Nova is actually in the 1968 version with Charlton Heston. So that's very cool.
They moved to New York.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. I wonder if they migrate to the east. I thought that what I thought was really good about it was that for as much as what I liked about it, number one, was it was very dark, like Gannon said, and it was depressing, but in
black monkeys.
No, but it was depressing in a way that you knew what the inevitable was going to be. And that was like, oh, man, this is not going to end
monkeys
well.
Winning.
And I thought that was good. There was like this looming cloud of doom that we knew was going to happen. I thought that was interesting. I liked that a lot. I also thought that what I really thought was interesting was that for as much as the apes wanted to be themselves or be their own people, as it were, or their own apes, I thought it was interesting that they juxtaposed that with Caesar basically on a revenge mission and him saying that he's no better than Koba, which I thought was great because it equates to him saying that he realizes that this isn't just for him. He's feeling these human emotions that the guy killed his family. And I thought that was pretty powerful because he, in that moment, for me at least, it felt like he knew that even for his, that he was not very much different than the humans that he was trying to get away from. And I thought that was very cool. And it puts a mirror on Caesar, which I thought was really neat. He saw it in himself. I thought that the performances by the guys that were the military guys, I thought was But, and like I said, I was very critical of Woody Harrelson. I didn't think he was that great.
Crossbow guy was okay.
Yes, that guy was not bad. I liked him a lot. He didn't have very many
Daryl?
Talking parts. Yeah, Daryl. Yeah, yes. Daryl's in it.
He was in this movie too?
Yeah, he was.
Man, I need to see this movie again.
I tell you what, the bad ape, the comic relief in this movie was one of those things where thank God he was there because if he wasn't, this movie would be even more depressing.
Thank God they didn't go too far with him, too.
No, right, exactly.
Could have been around that line where it became Jar Jar Binks.
Right, dopey, and it wasn't. They just did that.
Ape.
They made that line. And then, so overall, for as much as I enjoyed it, I think that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was a very good balance. War for the Planet of the Apes, I thought, was good, although it didn't have that same, the gravitas of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Because this was very much mainly a monkey-focused movie. Not very, you know, not a lot of human.
Hashtag Oscar's so human.
This is why I have you on the show,
yeah.
Todd.
Yeah,
the podcast movie. May have to change the name now. That's the Oscar's so human. It's pretty good. Anyway, I have to say that overall it was a very good movie. I will say that the nerd in me really wanted to see, like, the 25 or 30 years later thing come over and all of a sudden I see Charlton Heston's rocket ship over the top of the new civilization that has been
built.
That's
why I like that they didn't do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be those movies.
You're right.
And you also
tells a backstory, but it could go its own way.
You also don't
want to completely overwrite the masterpiece Mark Wahlberg series.
I still think that that film should be looked at again because I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks it is.
Gannon is disgusting. I love it.
It's not as bad as everybody thinks
it is.
You
know what's a really good thing about that film is Tim Roth's
performance. Tim Roth is fantastic. He is fantastic as the agent.
I'll concede that. He's the only good thing in that whole movie,
and
though.
By the way, I will also say that Rick Baker's work on The Apes was phenomenal.
Oh, I thought he was going to say something else when he said fuh.
Sorry. It was good. And I think Cynthia can appreciate the work on that, right?
Absolutely, yes. I like the movie, but most just because of that.
Yeah, I think his work on there is phenomenal. When you realize that that's not CGI, that's a man who's working hard at applying prosthetics and putting these masks together and these
that's
suits.
The work of a whole team.
That's a team that just puts it, and that's Rick Baker's genius. I get.
I don't really hate
stuff.
On that movie personally.
I don't either.
And you know they focused on the monkey junk.
Well, in that
didn't
one,
they wear pants.
They wore pants.
They
wore yeah.
pants.
But they sculpted the monkey junk before they put the pants
that's
on.
That's true.
They gave him monkey cod pieces.
The monkey cod piece.
No, it was a prosthetic attachment.
That's also the name of my next punk rock band.
Oh, monkey cod piece? That's not bad. Would it be shaped like a banana hammock?
Hey, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, okay. Now that's stupid.
You're going too far.
Now you're getting stupid.
That's the name of the
stupid?
First 7-inch.
Yeah.
7-inch.
Banana hammock.
Banana hammock. That's it.
7-inch being a record, by the way.
Oh,
I don't know if you know what he meant.
I wasn't sure. I'm glad
that's
you
not
clarified.
What I meant.
Oh, never mind. That's not what he meant.
All right,
no,
go.
But it's a double on top.
Going back around, Isaac. What's your star rating on this movie?
5.
5. Wow. Wow.
Out of 10.
Well, I'll tell you why, real fast. simply because, emotionally, I was there.
5 out of 5.
Nice.
All right, Cynthia.
Oh, yeah,
what about
I keep
you?
Forgetting you're all in.
Say...
Pathetic.
Yeah. No, I'm not. That's
no, he's not.
I'm
that's,
not
he's the opposite.
No, he's the opposite.
Oh,
it takes,
yeah,
it
right,
takes talking monkeys to pull this heartstring.
Nice.
All right, what about you, Cynthia?
I'm going to say 3.
3 stars. Can I ask what your husband thought of the film? Did you ask him?
I don't know. Topher, are you watching? You can comment.
Yeah. Let's know in the comments.
All he said on the commentary, or not commentary, but on the comments is poop.
Oh, good.
Well, I think I was talking about
nice.
Yeah, he was referring to her.
Nice. That's all
he said.
He also said that he saw Sean looking at porn.
Yeah. Were you really?
You can see Sean's phone on the Facebook Live.
Oh, my God.
That minute you were. You were looking at monkey porn, weren't you? You're getting inspired. You're like, I want to know what monkey junk looks like.
That's illegal in this version of the future.
Yeah, it is. Format, what do you give it?
11D2.
Of course you do.
I bet you monkey porn is legal in the Planet of the Apes future.
Totally.
You would have to say so. Well,
like Woody Harrelson went around to the camp and was like, look, I'm not going to be a stickler on this one.
But you got to remember, if the ape culture would be very communal, so maybe it's not appropriate. Who knows? I'm really breaking down the sciences.
Who said it was apes
that was looking at it? Oh, that's true. It's a good point.
Yeah, it would be. It's legal right now for apes to look at that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's not legal for us to look at.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
I'm looking at it right now.
Again,
that's illegal.
Oh no, dude! What you want to look for is zootube365.com. Go to that.
Stop
one.
Stop it!
Go to that one.
Stop it! This is
you
getting
see
out
some pretty hellacious stuff.
Okay,
there.
This is going out of hand. Gannon, what'd you think?
I give it a 4.
4 stars.
I give it 6 of whatever those are.
You're an idiot, Tom.
I think it's
you're a freaking idiot.
Wow.
That's why you're keeping them around.
All right. Well, last but not least, I'm going to give it a solid 4-star review. I still think that Dawn is a better film. I gave that 4.5 stars. But this is a very good movie. 4 stars. Will you guys stop it? You guys are like immature high school boys.
Okay, all right. Hold on.
Don't show anybody this.
How do you not laugh at that?
Oh my God! No, you guys are horrible.
I mean, now you gotta
looking up monkey pictures. Wow.
Sorry, I asked.
Jeez,
the things
please.
I didn't think I was gonna see.
That guy's gifted.
Oh gosh, horrible.
I'm not gonna lie. You might put me to shame.
That looks like a Hawaiian hot dog.
Like, he's only 6 inches tall.
That's like an Uncle Louis. That's like an Uncle Louis sausage right there.
You guys are horrible.
It's,
All right. Let's bring it back to center.
I didn't even realize monkeys did it missionary style. Look at this.
Will you stop it?
Look.
This is supposed to be war for the Planet of the Apes.
Hey, this is also an educational
not
video.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
After war, they have to repopulate.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice having you on the show, Sam.
That's what happens after that movie.
All right. Well, listen. We have
Love is a Battlefield of the Apes. That's the next movie.
That's the next movie.
Guys are idiots.
It's going to be just them.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, listen. Before we go any further, we do have a second podcast coming up where we'll be talking about some movie trailers.
Well,
and
we're
going
to dig into these pictures some more.
And then
you let me actually do the comic list.
You're going to do the comic list as well. Yeah, no, we're going to do that for the second pod for sure. But before we go, because I know that this lovely lady is on a time crunch and she's going to San Diego Comic Con. Cynthia, I'm totally jealous, number one. Number two, would you like to inform everybody that's watching and or listening what you're going to be doing up there at San Diego Comic Con?
Working.
No. Oh, is that it?
Yay! I'm going to be doing makeup.
Makeup?
That's what I do, yeah.
Yeah. Who are you going to be? Is there anybody special you're going to be working on? Or are you going to be working on a movie?
Are you even allowed to talk about it?
Can you talk about
it? I think so.
Okay.
I just can't ask them for pictures. That's rude.
You can't ask them for pictures?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's tentative. They could put me on somebody else, too. But as it stands right now, I'll be working with Rose McIver from iZombie.
Shut your face.
And then, what are the other two people's names?
I think one of them was the guy from Gotham, Ben McKenzie.
Yeah, they're both on Gotham, but their name...
McKenzie.
Yes.
Ben McKenzie,
yes.
Right?
Ben
McKenzie.
And then also Aaron...
Aaron.
I was going to say Eckhart, but I know that's wrong.
From... she's also
Ben McKenzie is the man who is currently currently the fiance of Miranda Baccarat.
They're married.
Who are they supposed to work?
Are they married?
They are married.
Oh, I didn't know they were. I didn't know they're married.
Her name is Aaron Richards.
Aaron Richards.
Yes.
Aaron, is that? Wait a minute.
She's also on. This is her. She's
on
Gotham.
Catwoman.
No.
Oh.
No, it's not.
That's not Catwoman. Who is
I
that?
Worked on her a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
It was Barbara Gordon.
Oh, Barbara Gordon.
Yeah. Wow, very cool. So you're going up there, but what else are you going to do other than work and makeup?
I will be doing a little Facebook Live-ing for Nerdwatch.
You are a mensch. You know that?
Uber.
Yeah.
Uber mensch.
She is going
to
be doing...
Just say hi to Ivy Doom Kitty for us.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be doing... she's gonna
Jimmy
be,
J won't bring her.
She is going to be walking the floor of San Diego Comic-Con for the Nerdwatch in her Nerdwatch paraphernalia or her Nerdwatch shirt. And she's going to be going around the con. And I can't wait to see the footage. I'm super excited.
Look at his nipples.
Yeah. They have never been this hard. I mean, anyway... yeah, I can't wait, Cynthia. It's going to be so exciting. So, listen, have a good time.
Thanks.
Don't do anything we wouldn't do.
Or anything we would do.
Or anything we would do. And then
there's
a
little gray area.
Yeah,
exactly. There's a little gray area.
Take lots of pictures. Bring something special back, if you can, for us guys. That'd be great.
Okay.
You know, just simple stuff.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah,
$100 or less.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
For each of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get one of those big swag bags. And
yeah,
just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just go to each table and go here.
Yeah, kiss Ben McKenzie's wife for me. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
The homewrecker.
Oh yeah, the homewrecker. Yeah, the homewrecker.
She's a homewrecker.
She's a homewrecker. Remember?
She is a homewrecker.
She's a homewrecker.
I mean, it's technically his fault too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Remember when you were in that band, the Homewreckers?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, but
I would
she's
wreck
great.
That.
Well, I can't wait.
I almost said it.
Yeah, you did. I feel free to post as much as you like. We can't wait to hashtag it SDCC, which would be great. So we can't wait. And of course, hashtag the Nerdwatch, just because it's so awesome. Thank you so much for doing that for us. We really appreciate it. Well, listen,
she's
before you
totally
go,
forget not do it at all.
Yes. Yeah.
She's
run in the last day, like, oh my god, who wants to talk to me? I forgot.
Her Facebooking at Comic Con is gonna be like her at a pool party with celebrities.
Yeah, right. It's like,
look who invited me to a pool party,
yeah.
Guys.
Oh my god,
Samuel Jackson.
I can't believe. I believe I have time to do Facebook Live right now.
Wish awesome. You were here.
Wish you were here.
But you ever with Samuel Jackson in my head? I wanted to say Carrot Top.
I'm pretty sick too. Well,
they're both there. It's a crazy party.
That's like two ends of a spectrum. It's like the blackest dude and then the whitest dude.
It's crazy, right?
Just hand it over to Carrot Top. Just have him do the like. Welcome everybody. This is Carrot Top from Nerdwatch.
Aloha.
Well, listen, before we go, I want to give Cynthia and Isaac the floor because I want to talk about their favorite subject is
tweaking.
tweaking.
Yeah.
Also, it is a new segment we like to call TP Talk. Is that sticking or no?
No. It's terrible.
Okay.
I'm just going with the flow. From okay. Now on. I can be a tweaker. I can be a TP Talker. I'm whatever you want.
He can be Switzerland all he wants. I'm vetoing that.
I like TP Talker.
I'm a fan of Cottonelle. Sometimes it's surprisingly soft and yet sturdy to do the job.
Yeah, TP Talk.
Sometimes what? Tweakers we're live in teepees.
Yes, that's true.
I can't use softer ones because I break right through them.
Oh,
and then I basically discover things about myself I don't want to know.
I'm a two plier.
Yeah.
Yeah, two plier for me.
You want to
Well, listen, we're going to talk about episode 10 of Twin Peaks. We got about maybe 17 minutes or so. So let's get to it, you two crazy David
like
Lynch lovers. Cynthia and yes. Isaac. Episode 10, I have caught up to episode 9. I have not seen 10 yet. By the way, I went back and watched episode 8 again just because I was so enthralled with that episode. I have a question to ask before we get started on this whole Twin Peaks talk quick.
Yeah.
Here's my question, and it's coming from a guy. I'm looking at it from the lens of not being a David Lynch fan. Sure. I'm looking at it through the lens of anybody else.
Sure.
Here's my question. Could you say – that is it possible that he has not earned the right to be as ostentatious as he has been in this series? Because he hasn't had a hit in a long time? Is it not? Is
You're
it
funny?
You know,
I don't even want to answer that.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming from a guy who is a David Lynch fan, but speaking for those that aren't David Lynch fans, would that be a fair assessment? I don't know.
He'd go for it.
I don't
want to
dignify it.
Okay. You're funny, dude.
I'm just checking. I was just checking. But no, I
He's an artist, man.
I tell you what, if you watch episode 8, which I did again because I was so enthralled by it, you could not know what goes on and still find that episode pretty damn beautiful.
It's beautiful.
You know, he is currently the most famous surrealist in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a different generation lived through Salvador Dali. We're living through David Lynch.
Wow. You just compared him to Salvador Dali. Wow.
I did that.
Wow, you did that. All right. So episode 10, what the hell is going on in Twin Peaks, Washington? Is it Washington, right?
It is Washington.
All right.
But we're kind of all over the place here. And I want to...
What do you want to do?
I want to talk a little bit in the beginning of this just about how...
Yes.
Women are kind of reacting to Twin Peaks.
Women?
Lynch. Yeah, in general. I think that general David Lynch gets a...
Women, that's a hot button issue. I heard women.
Ladies. So they have a strong reaction normally. A lot of feminist voices are very anti-Lynch. You know, I mean...
How can you be, though, to be...
Violence against women. He loves to show... and depict violence against women.
Mm-hmm. But you're not allowed to censor as a feminist.
Cynthia's one of the good ones because she doesn't.
Don't say that. Don't say one of the good ones.
Oh, can I not? Oh. Sorry. Was that sexist? I'm sorry.
No, in general, isn't it?
You and your group.
Yeah. You and your subsect. You're one of the good ones.
Sorry.
It's, to me, first of all, it's art, but second of all, granted, when I do watch any given episode, and a woman comes on screen, I get a little nervous about what's going to happen to them, because it is true, he does depict horrible fates befalling these women, but I don't chalk it up to misogyny. I think that, not only because I give Lynch the benefit of the doubt, but also because I don't think showing violence against women is inherently anti-women. I think showing horrors, those kind of horrors are important. I think telling stories of how far men go to control the women in their lives is important. And I don't see Lynch as a Lifetime movie. I don't see him telling those kinds of stories. I think that, I don't think he's trying to scare women. I don't think he's trying to make women afraid of men. I just think he's just showing us the contrast of how horrible things are or can be, and the brighter world that he sometimes shows as well, that he believes in. And I think that the real world's ugly, and I think that there's nothing wrong with what he's doing.
You're a brave voice in the world of feminism.
Yeah, you're one of the brave
ones.
You're one of the brave ones.
And I think that the world can be unfair to women in big and small ways. Like even with everyone thinking that Cole only picked Tammy to be on this case because he likes to look at her. Like that's unfair. And I think that him depicting that isn't a bad thing.
She is hot.
She is
pretty good to look at. But, yeah, I think that people talk about it a lot, and I just kind of wanted to give my two cents on it. Because
good for you.
Why not?
Good for you. That's what this platform's all about.
Yeah. As one of the good ones, it's good of you to speak up.
Speak up.
Because if you were one of the bad ones, we don't want to hear
That's
it.
That's right.
Bad feminist. That's the name of the podcast.
Who's a bad feminist?
Yeah, who's a bad
feminist?
Nasty,
nasty
woman.
Nasty woman.
Nasty lady. Having spoke about that, let's talk about Richard Horne.
Uh-oh.
He's the nastiest, most desperate guy in the Twin Peaks area right now.
I like him already.
He's just... I think that after watching this episode, I think it's hard to argue that he's not a product of evil Cooper raping comatose Audrey.
Whoa.
He robbed his grandmother. Grandmother very specifically said it was his grandmother, Audrey's mom.
What?
So that's his grandmother. It's gotta be. He's gotta be Audrey's kid.
Oh, man.
And he's such a horrible character. He has to be. He has to be Bob's kid. He's got to.
All right, I gotta see this episode.
So.
This is weird.
He violently killed a woman in a trailer. He totally, like, beats up his grandma and steals all her money and, like, yells at her that it's her fault for making things calm. This could have been easy. You made it harder than it needed to be. Like,
beating up your grandma's kind of like
pretty bad.
The last draw.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, you beat up his grandma. He's the worst.
But he's got a point, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, get that grandma. So the only way I could force it, it's not Johnny Horne's kid. Johnny Horne has mental issues. It could be Donna's, I guess, if she took the Horne name, because in Twin Peaks at the end of season, or somewhere in season two, you find out that she's not Doc Hayward's daughter. She's Benjamin Horne's daughter. Remember that scene? Right. You're my daddy. You're my daddy.
So she didn't take Horne's name, if that is
did,
the case. It's interesting.
Then she could. It could
it's
be.
Unlikely, though.
I could
it's
see that.
It's so unlikely, but that's really.
But I can see that, though. I mean, that's something that totally works.
So I just think he's Audrey's. And it's making me, like, not. I think, much like everybody else, I'm very much so looking forward to Audrey coming into the show, but it's making me super apprehensive to see what became of her if this is her kid.
The thing I'm waiting for is the pine weasel.
The pine weasel. What the
hell? Save the pine weasel.
Oh, it's a callback to season two.
Okay, I totally missed that. Holy cow.
She chained herself to right the inside of the... Didn't
they
you?
Had that benefit and then that thing at the hotel.
And then Audrey chained herself to inside of the bank.
Oh!
Because she was trying to save the pine weasel, right? Yeah.
That is so weird. That I don't even get the reference. No, I know what he's talking about, but I don't get the reference, though, to this. I gotta watch it.
I think people who watch Twin Peaks over and over again, that's a joke. Save the pine weasel.
Save the pine weasel. Yeah.
Right. Next week I'm going to be wearing that shirt.
You still don't know what the hell they're talking
no,
about.
No, I do, because it was a forest thing, and they were trying to save this stupid little whatever it was.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
Way to make up stuff, yeah. G.
I know what I'm talking about, Gannon.
Just checking.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping me honest.
It is your MO, though.
Yeah. No. You're right, though. Good
it
for
is your MO.
Good looking out. That's good. It is my MO. You're absolutely right.
I like to keep it
he doesn't want you to be responsible for any fake news.
Yeah, no fake news here.
Just trying to keep it honest.
Oh, good for you, sir. Nice job. Anyway.
Did you have anything
fake
you
news like wrestling.
No.
So we see a picture of... We see a picture from that room in New York City.
Yes.
From the beginnings of when they started to film the box. The glass box.
That's come back into play?
Yes.
Yes.
And we see Evil Coop in that picture. And one of the first tapes, and the first cards, the memory cards from that.
Yeah.
So I think it stands to reason he's the billionaire that funded that room.
Ooh.
So that's...
I think that's pretty... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
I think it's pretty smart.
And I can link apes with Twin Peaks.
You
got bad ape,
shut.
You got bad Coop.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I guess.
We see. Oh, what's that actor? He's so lovely playing the guitar.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes, Harry Dean Stanton playing a lovely tune in a trailer park, singing and playing guitar, and it was such a great scene. And then it cuts to a mug flying through a trailer window and cut to inside, and it's Becky, Shelley's daughter, getting beat up by her Husband.
Her ugly husband.
Her husband is snot coming out of his nose, just like really like on like over her and yelling at her. And it was so like, okay, so yeah, she is getting the same treatment as her mother did from Leo. Like she's kind of living that life out, just like.
Shelly better go fix that.
Yeah, Shelly better go fix that.
Okay, okay, okay.
This might be the only, well, I don't know. I'm just guessing. It feels like it might be the only time we've seen Harry Dean Stanton play the guitar since Cool Hand Luke in a movie.
Jeez, I haven't seen Cold Hand Luke in so long. I love that movie, though.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Is Harry Dean Stanton from Night Court?
No.
No,
dude.
Who's the judge from Night Court?
That's
Harry Dean Anderson.
That's Harry Dean Anderson.
No, that was so close. Come on. You can't get mad at me for that. Harry Dean Anderson?
No, I think that's very MacGyver. Close. Okay, no,
that was fair, but that was great. That was a great, great, great mistake.
I can't stop picturing the judge from Night Court in Alien.
Oh,
one of America's finest treasures, Harry Dean Anderson.
And I can't get the Night Court theme out of my head now. Thanks. Oh, I'm not going to sing it.
No, he is.
I love that theme.
I didn't know we had so many Night Court fans on the Nerd Watch.
John the raunchy saxophone genius. Solo.
That's hilarious.
A shirtless guy playing it.
Pitt, man.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyway, listen, we only got a few minutes left, so let's. Where
so,
are we at?
We got, this is a great scene. We have Cooper has sex with Dougie's wife. Because she got all hot and horny seeing him shirtless in the doctor's office. And she takes him home, thinking it's her husband, and seduces him. And there's like a full thing, and it's
one of the best sex
scenes. Pretty
great.
Wait,
it's
pretty
how
great.
Do you think that? Wait, so
wait, huh? What?
How does she think that he's her husband?
Because
Todd,
you gotta watch
Todd,
the show. Sorry, I can't.
You have to watch
that
the show. It's that's there's no way to explain.
There were okay, so there's
you
three. There's three Coopers right now.
Possible.
There's two Coopers. When the third Cooper existed before he got sucked back into the lodge, he looked like Cooper.
Right. Right.
So when Cooper like came him. Out and took his life over, mm-hmm.
was
so this woman has
was
no
multiple
idea.
Coopers after they solved the murder?
See, Todd, this is where we can't bring you in the beginning because it's just so difficult. Because this guy is a there's a lot of surreal souls at play and possible replicas, and it's an interesting.
It's like Multiplicity, but without the levity. Of Michael Keaton.
There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly what
Multiplicity
it's like.
Without the humor of Michael Keaton.
I'm already.
Yeah, Steve.
I mean, if it was like Groundhog's Day, okay. But I mean, Multiplicity.
Oh, wow. Of course. Of course. Of course. Sophomore. Anyway.
Black Lodge, Steve.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. What else?
Nadine owns a silent drape runner shop. That was a great moment for me to see that.
Yeah, that was good fan service.
So much good fan service.
Sweet.
Oh,
I
so can't wait
to see that.
The log lady calls Hawk again and says the glow is dying. She also tells him that the good ones who have been with you will help bring that circle back together again, and Laura is the one.
I didn't know she was able to finish log lady before she passed.
I filmed all her scenes at
yeah.
once.
Oh, okay.
So she paints a portrait of a lost world. That's helpless, much like Jerry Horn in the woods, which we see again.
Oh, wow.
Gordon opens up the door of his hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
After someone knocks and interrupts him, drawing a picture of some like antlered animal with an arm coming in to pet it.
Mm-hmm.
When he opens it, he gets this vision of Laura crying. Like a very strong, it was her from what, Fire Walk With Me?
Yeah.
Picture, like a scene like superimposed over it. And then... yeah, and then Albert's there.
It's just confusing to me only that because he's never met Laura when she was alive, so I didn't really understand how he could have that vision, but...
But Laura never met Annie or Coop and saw them both when she was alive.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
But she met him in the Black Lodge.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, but then also, I mean, it doesn't matter if I don't understand it. I just, if anything, you don't understand, you just go... Because Twin Peaks, that's why.
Because David Lynch says so.
David Lynch.
Because David Lynch.
And if he wants to be in a scene with Laura,
so I never actually get, I never get upset about being confused.
Okay, good, good, good.
Ever in any capacity of his life.
So what
are we with this show?
All right. So what are we? What are our takeaways from this episode? Where are we going?
Well. Let me finish my thought there.
Oh, well, finish it, lady.
Yeah.
So Albert's there,
shut
and
up
he
your face.
Albert tells Diane that he got that. I'm sorry. Albert tells Cole that Diane got a text from Evil Cooper, and she responded to it saying they have Bill Hastings and he will lead them.
Interesting. Okay.
Albert went on a date
Yeah, Albert went on a date.
What?
Albert went on a date. It was great. And I think it's important because moments of goodness and light like that are the glow that I think that the Lug Lady's saying is dying. And at the end, there's like a 6-minute long song, which, you know, you
good
can complain
bad.
About.
Was
it was
that
right.
was my favorite song of the whole
It was
season.
Great. Lynch wrote it. It was the same lady who sang it for, she was in Mulholland Drive. She sang that amazing song in Mulholland Drive.
Have you ever seen Southland Tales? She's also in that. She sings in that. Her name is Rebecca Del Rio. She was wearing a Black Lodge pattern dress.
Yes.
She's the closest to me this show has ever gotten to having a singer in the Bang Bang Bar be like Julie Cruz, but bigger than Julie Cruz as far as like how where she can take what
her
note she can hit.
Oh, okay.
Insane.
It's and the fact that they didn't interrupt a performance for 5 minutes, it's for me, I thought it was magnificent.
Wow. Can't wait to see that.
So the lyrics of the song at the end of the episode, by the way, Moby's playing guitar in the band, are like, my dream is to go to the place where it all began. And then, because we live in a world with no stars, basically.
Wow.
And I think it's interesting because we do all want to go back to where it all began. We want Dale back. We want that innocent, folksy life that he longed for. We want Twin Peaks. We want him back. You know,
who's Dale?
I have to remember that I like Tom.
Hey, Cynthia, how much time you got?
I like your watch. I'm just messing around.
Anyway, I want Isaac to give you his takeaway from it because it is his favorite episode.
Yeah, it's my favorite episode.
All right, well,
I didn't take notes, but basically what I took away from it was for this entire season, what we've gotten used to is a very confusing show. With like layer upon layer upon layer of all these weird, confusing.
No joke.
But this was the first episode that to me felt like the old Twin Peaks. It wasn't constantly confusing, and it wasn't constantly
pretty granted, straightforward.
There's weird moments, but they weren't as weird. They were more subtle. They were more smooth, and the show just felt as close as we've ever gotten so far, in my opinion, to the old Twin Peaks. So it felt like a very smooth watch.
A smooth watch.
A watching experience.
Smooth viewing.
Oh,
a smooth
viewing. Sorry.
A smooth viewing.
No, I think I went back because he said he liked my watch
like,
and
like
I was
a Rolex?
Freaked out. Yeah, I thought it was like a Rolex or a Timex.
And also, I mean, we love that bear, right? That talking bear?
Oh, the talking bear! I forgot about the talking bear.
Yogi?
Johnny Horn had this talking bear. So he's all like restrained so he doesn't hurt himself.
Yeah.
And he has this talking bear that almost looks like it has like a fish bowl head and it's all crudely painted on and it keeps repeating itself.
My theory is that at some point he broke the bear and he wouldn't let them throw it away.
It's
so
pretty
amazing,
though.
They did like a makeshift head for it. So it's got a bear body but a weird robot head and it just talks in a
but it repeats the same. What does it say?
It says something like, "Hi, Johnny, how are you today?" But it says it in like an English accent.
Over and over and over. And while Richard Horn is beating up his grandma, this thing is going off in the background.
Hello, Johnny. How are you today?
Hello, Johnny. How are you today?
Over and over again for minutes and minutes while there's
David
violence
Lynch is a psycho.
Playing over it.
He's a psycho. Anyway, listen.
I love it.
I do, too. I can't wait to watch it. Cynthia's got to get out of here.
I do.
She has to go. We have to go as well, but we are having a second show, we're getting rid of the riffraff, Todd. No, I'm just kidding.
Bye. It was great being here.
No, Cynthia, have a good time. We're very jealous, but so happy that you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. We can't wait to hear your reports from the ground floor.
Thanks, G.
That's going to be so exciting for you and kind of exciting for us to see you there, which is going to be really neat. So,
It'll be fun. I'm happy to do it.
For sure. Thank you very, very much. Anyway, guys, stay tuned because coming up in the next episode, which you'll be able to play or maybe we'll watch Facebook Live. I don't know if you guys want to stick around. We're going to be talking about the newest trailers. What happened at D23 or Disney 23?
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about
Game of Thrones.
Stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about
Preacher.
We're going to be talking about
that.
The comic book list.
New Atari console.
Oh, gee, wow.
And guess what? And guess what? Todd is here, your
Monkey
adversary.
John. Great.
Yeah, he's here as well. It's going to be great. So, ladies and gentlemen.
I regret missing him last week.
Yeah, yeah. Stay tuned because we got that coming up. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And then, of course, you can always donate to this to the show at patreon.com/NerdWatch. If you could please keep us on the air, as it were. For Todd, for Gannon, for Format, for the wonderful Cynthia, thank you so much. We thank you guys.
How does she get a long...
Because
she's...
For
Todd, for Gannon, for Format, for the wonderful...
Because she's
sweet.
Wonderful. Oh. That's why, and she's really okay. Sweet. And she's doing us
we got boobs, too.
She's doing us a solid, by the way. And on top of that, she and Isaac are Twin Peaks experts.
Sean's giving me a solid.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And for Alika and, of course, Isaac, you'll be joining us for the next hour, won't
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. All right, so we're out of time. Peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. I don't know if you're going to stick around, Todd. We're going to be talking about lots of wrestling. Raw and
where's
stuff,
Kai's so. Shoes?
Anyway, once again, peace out. Much love. Most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next episode, which is very shortly.
He lost him in a bum fight.
I'm making a cliffhanger. Yeah.
No, I'll
episode.
Tell you. He lost him in a bum fight.
Okay. Oh, man, you just ruined the cliffhanger.
All right. Aloha. We're out of time. We'll see you guys in just a few minutes.
Way too short.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Penis. Sexual swelling.